Thank you, Gwenda and Cherie. She told me last week they were going to sing, and she said, I know that you're preaching, and you always preach this message when Brother Joe is out of town, and it's always the first Christmas message. And we're not singing a Christmas song. That was horrible. Wasn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Thank y'all so much. And it'll fit. You'll see. It will fit. Today is the first day of Advent. And I don't know if you know what Advent is. I didn't know what the word meant till I wanted to preach. I found out that it was going to be the first day of Advent. So, and you know, in years past, we had always set this thing up, and we had it set where people would come in and they would read scripture and light a candle. And the word Advent, as I was studying, is a Latin word that comes from a Latin word, Adventus, meaning the coming. The Advent is 4 days prior to Christmas, 4 Sundays prior to Christmas. And each Sunday represents a certain word or a certain thing to herald Christ's coming. Christ's coming, for instance, one candle represents joy, one candle represents love, one candle represents hope, and one candle represents peace. And what it says that when Christ came, he brought those things. He brought hope, love, joy, and peace. And it's normally celebrated and with what they call this Advent candle. And there's the greenery, the evergreen, which symbolizes Christ, God's never-ending love for us. And as I said, each of those candles represents one or the other. But the center one represents Christ, which is to be lit on Christmas Day. And there is a little song that millions sing that really fits. It could be an Advent song. It heralds someone coming that is really special. This person is a person of love. He loves everyone, and everyone loves him. And it is a very special song. This person this song is sung about, he sees us, he knows us, he knows everything that we're doing. He knows about whether we've been good, whether we've been not so good. But he exhorts us to be good. And he really wants us to be that person. And you know the song, and I want to sing it for you. And once you know it, and once I start it, I want you to begin to sing with me, okay? Wait, I got to change keys. Well, you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. He's making a list, checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's coming, right? Oh, you saying, no. How many of y'all went shopping Friday? Come on, don't be embarrassed. Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, Black Friday. You know he's coming. Black Friday. You know why they call it Black Friday, right? So all the merchants will get in the black. They've been in the red all year. Well, I found a whole nother reason for the black. It'd all be black and blue Friday. You know, you're going to help them get black, but you standing in line and fighting the crowds makes you blue. And come at first of the year and you get the credit card bill, it really makes you blue. Black and blue. We all, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town. A good Advent song, meaning someone is coming. Well, you know, we can sing that a little different. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. That's what the Advent is about. It's about the one who is coming. It's about Jesus who came. And that is what we're going to talk about today, about the Advent. My goodness, we need to celebrate the coming of Christ. We need to. You know, if there wasn't the birth in the manger, there would be no death on the cross. If there was no death on the cross, there would be no resurrection. If there would be no resurrection, then there would be no redemption. Where would we be without redemption? Destined for hell. That's where we would be. I praise God for His grace that was so demonstrated at Christmas when He sent His Son. Now, I know that the Advent is supposed to be lit this Sunday, next Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday, and then on Christmas Day. But what I want to do is, up front, I want to tell the Christmas story so that for the next 4 weeks that we can be reminded why we have Christmas. The Advent. The first candle that we're going to light today, and if it goes out, y'all just play like it's lit, okay? That's what happens when you do things live. The first Advent candle that we're going to light is going to be the one for joy. The joy candle. Do you remember as a child? I know some of you have to go way back there. But do you remember as a child waiting for Christmas? And the joy that waking up on Christmas morning, what that's going to bring? Can you just remember? I don't know what it is about waiting for Christmas to come, but it seems like that everything, when you get in school, everything just whistles by until December 1. And somebody just stops time. And Christmas like never gets here. And you just wait with the expectancy of what's going to happen, man. And you wait and you wait. And it's like it'll never get here. And so in the Miller household, what we did is that we, Clarice made this calendar looking thing, and on each day, it had every day of the month, 1, 2, 3, through 24. And on each day, she would tie up a little candy, whether it be Hershey's Kisses or peppermint. And right before they went to bed, they would get to go get one of those. That means December 1st is gone. We're one day closer. And so you just go through every day until December 24th. Yow, tomorrow's the day. That expectancy. Well, I want to tell you about a couple who knows full well about the expectations about the joy of having a child. And look in your scripture with me to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be there for a while. And then we're going to go over to Matthew in a minute. But Luke chapter 1 is where I want to start with this couple. I want to start in verse 5. Verse 5 says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abiha. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the Lord and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not. Or do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Here is a couple that when they got married had and expressed the, the joy that comes with marriage and the joy that comes knowing that they would be having a child. And in that first year, it didn't happen. Nor the second. Nor the third. The fifth. The tenth. The 15th. The 20th. Maybe even the 30th. And now Zechariah says, I'm an old man. I'm an old man. Their faith had faltered. They felt their joy was jilted. And they had no child. So can you imagine when this angel sprang upon the scene as he was going in to do the burning of the incense for the people? And can you imagine this angel telling them that you're now going to have the child? The Lord heard your prayer, and He is going to give you a child. It's kind of like Zechariah said, well, hush my mouth. And he did. He made him mute, but because of his doubt. But wait, how would you react? Now think of it now, you more mature people. And an angel appeared to you one night and said, hey, your wife's going to have a baby. Sure. So I could understand them being, you know, questioning what the Lord's angel had to say. It was a bit unbelievable. But he assured them. She became pregnant and they had a child. They eventually became ecstatic and full of joy about the coming of their child. Now, I know. Okay, I know that the Christmas story really isn't about John the Baptist. I know that. But you know, his whole point for coming, his whole role in life was to herald the coming of the Messiah. That was his role. So he is a part of the Christmas story. He is the one that was going to be preparing the way of the Messiah. It was his role. And can you imagine the joy that came to the hearts of the Jews in John's day, and it came to the joy that comes to the hearts of Jews today when they really do fully realize that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the one who came, who comes, who will be forever be their Messiah. Can you imagine the joy, not only the Jews, but the Arabs alike who really realize Jesus is the Messiah? Can you imagine the joy that they have in their hearts? Listen, their joy is so great that they risk their lives every day just to worship Him. That's what kind of joy that they have. The Christmas season should bring joy about the expectancy of the celebration of the one who came. Joy, the Advent candle. The second candle is the one of love. We're going to continue with the story there in Luke. I'm going to begin with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. Now the sixth month, what he's talking about there is the sixth month of pregnancy of Elizabeth. Okay. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, fear not, or do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son at her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was already engaged. She and Joseph had been, and the scripture used the word betrothed. It's a little more than what just kind of going together. This betrothal is like a legal thing. It's like they were married already. They just weren't married yet. And they were already falling in love. And we'll see that more so in just a moment. They were falling in love, even though they couldn't date the way that we call dating today. But they were already having those strong feelings for one another. And you know, those of you who have children know that when you first got married, you really just thought you knew what love was all about. And then when you had a child, then you really learned what love was all about. I can remember walking across the parking lot at Britt City High School, December. I was on my way to basketball practice, going to pick up my kids over in the gym. And as I was walking across, I fished to get to that big double gate. I sit just like it was yesterday. There's a double gate there. And all of a sudden, boom, there was Clarice standing there. I said, "Hey." And she said, "We're pregnant." And she was so excited. I got so excited that, you know, I fell in love with a child I had never seen nor touched. It's just instant. Instant, I fell in love with a child. See, you know too that you don't have to learn how to love your children. It just happens. You just do. And Mary, all of a sudden knew what was fixing to happen. She didn't understand all this. My goodness, she's probably a teenager. She didn't understand all that was about to happen to her. She just knew this. She knew that the Lord loved her. And she knew that she loved the Lord. And so she just let it be, as you have said. She knew that. And listen, you know yourself that the Lord calls you. He calls us into things that, man, we don't know the who, what, where, when, why, especially never the how. But He calls us sometimes to those places and we just go, "How can this be?" But when He calls us, we need to know two things. We need to know that the Lord loves us. And if we love Him, we can't do anything else except what Mary did. And there's that sweet surrender. The sweet surrender that she gave to the Lord. That sweet surrender that she said, "Okay." And that's, how else could we do that? My goodness, the Advent season is about Christ coming. Christ came not to be just as a baby, but He came to be the one who was sacrificed for our sins. And what love is that? What love is that? The greatest love that's ever been known. And when we realize that, how can we not do anything else except, "Lord, may it be unto me as you have said." That's love. That's love. The second advent is love. And the third advent candle I want to light is the one, hope. Christ's coming brings hope. We're going to flip over to Matthew for this one. Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was reminded to put her away privately or secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Fear not, or do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Of all the characters of the Christmas story next to Jesus, I think Joseph displayed the greatest depth of love of all of them. When people become engaged to be married, there is hope about everything that there is in marriage. There's, of course, the hope of love. There's the hope of expectancy. There's the hope of children. And there is the hope of the great family life that leads to growing old together. And in just a moment, Joseph's hope disappeared. His fiancée, his wife, went to visit relatives for 3 months, and when she came back, she was 3 months pregnant. Oh my goodness, can you imagine? Can you imagine what went through his mind? Can you imagine what went through his heart? Now, I told you earlier that they began to know what love was all about. Listen to what Joseph did. Here's how deep his love was. He could have had her publicly stoned to death because of her betrayal to him while they were engaged. But he chose to put her away privately, secretly. He chose to do that. You see, his love for her was greater than his shame. So he chose to do that. And then in a dream, the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, Listen, the things that she said is true. She is going to have a child, but it is of the Holy Spirit. So take Mary, your wife. And see, in a dream, a word of the Lord brought back hope. And I have a question for you today is, where's your hope? Have you lost hope today? Do you find yourselves in a hopeless situation? Do you find yourself without any answers to life? Do you feel like that there's no one there? Listen, hear the words that are said to everyone in this story. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Because Christ came to bring hope. That's what Christmas is about. He came to bring hope. In fact, when I talk about hope, I don't talk about a rabbit's foot that brings you good luck. I'm not talking about a genie's bottle that you can rub to get out of trouble when you get in it. I'm talking about hope. I'm talking about blessed hope. I'm talking about the hope that in Colossians 1:27 says that Jesus came to be the hope of all glory. That's hope. That's the hope that I want. I don't know what's in your life today. I don't know. But Christ came to bring you hope. Joseph lost hope, but it was returned because of his love. Listen to what someone said about Joseph. He says that we are called to Joseph's courage and to Christmas faithfulness. In our context that we read, I believe that Christmas faithfulness is giving to those in need without regard of their record of waste or thrift. Christmas faithfulness is going the extra mile in giving the frivolous as well as the necessary. Christmas faithfulness is giving even when it might embarrass us, even when it might come out that we were used or taken advantage of. Christmas faithfulness is taking the high road, the hard road, that lifelong journey of unpopular choices confirmed not by word or law, but in the heart and the soul and the dreams of a better day when we will know Emmanuel. Christmas faithfulness is a year-round identity, not a Christmas time costume that we pack away with the decorations. We walk this path of Joseph when we take the road and ignore the do not enter sign, knowing somehow that this is the faithful course of action. So we are warmed by the story of Joseph, by the love of a righteous God who demands not perfection, not righteousness, but loving, risky faithfulness to the call of the one who was and who is and who is to come, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's hope. I hope you haven't lost hope today. Christ came to give you hope. And then the last candle that I want to talk about. Is the one on peace. We're going to go back to Luke. And look at that. So flip back to Luke. We're going to be in chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Man, how would you have liked to have been a shepherd that night? I mean, here are these guys sitting out in the pasture, minding their sheep, tending their sheep, minding their own business. And then all of a sudden, wham, God does something spectacular. Isn't that amazing? And I know sometimes we look for God in the grandioso. And we look God for the spiritual highs. And He does appear then. And He does. Praise God when He does. But you know, we don't live in the grandioso. We don't live in the spiritual highs of life. More times than not, we're just tending sheep. We're just in the pasture of life. That's all we're doing. But listen, that's where God does the spectacular. That's where He does the greatest things that are done. He does in the everyday, not so important times of life. He just shows up. And you know, we may be in those times of life that you know, it's just the mundane, it's the everyday, it's the so-so, it's just blah 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 all day long. But listen, look for God in those times. He'll do the spectacular if we just look for Him. And when He shows up, whatever is going on in your life, He shows up and He says, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings, peace and goodwill to all." Christ is coming. The Advent, joy, love, hope, peace. Christ came to bring those things. But the last candle, it's Christ's candle. But I have a question for you. Have you accepted His coming? Does the light of Christ burn within you? Do you know Him? You see, Christ didn't come so that we could have this merry little Christmas. Christ came to be the Savior of the world. And He wants to be your Savior. He wants you to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if something happened to you today, or if He comes back again, you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you'll be with Him. He wants to be your Savior. Have you done that? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And does the light within you burn so that you can be the light of the world that He has called you to be? Oh, listen, this is what this message is about. That's what this Advent is about. He did come to bring peace, hope, love, and joy. He did. But if you don't receive that and receive Him as your Savior, what good is lighting a candle? It's just a candle. Do you know Him today? But listen. The Christ who came is coming again. Christ came as a babe. He came to be one of us the way that we become us, a baby, so that He could die for us. But listen, He's coming again. He came one time to bring peace, hope, love, joy. My friend, He's coming again to bring judgment. He's coming. Do you know Him? Are you ready for that? Chasen, come here, buddy. Several months ago, Chasen wrote a song. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Chasen wrote a song that he sang to us. He just went off to his room one day. About 50 minutes later, he said, "I wrote a song." And I was listening to him sing it this week, and I said, "This fits." Listen to the words of the song as Chasen sings this. He's not on display up here, please. He's not. But this is from his heart. You listen to the words as he sings this song. Then I'll close.
I want to shout from the highest peak.
Christ is coming again. He's coming again. It's not just a simple song. It is a message that He is coming. And listen, if you miss the truth of the Advent, that He came to bring hope, peace, love, and joy. He did. He came to do that. But friends, Christ is coming again. He's coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know Him? Let's pray. Father, as we close this, our time together today, Lord, we're going to open it up for an invitation for You. Father, I pray, Lord, that it's those that are dealing with the fact that Christmas is a hard time for them, Lord, because they don't know the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that You came to bring. Father, I pray, Lord, that in this time of decision making, Lord, that they will make the decision to follow after You. Lord, for those who don't know You personally as their Savior, Lord, I pray that happens today. Lord, I pray that they will come to know You personally. Father, I pray for those that do know You, Lord, and You know them. But Lord, for some reason, that hope and that joy and that peace and that love is just, well, Lord, it just feels like it's gone. And Father, I pray, Lord, that they realize that today they can know. They can know, Lord, that You came for them. Lord, just deal with people's hearts today, Lord. Deal with them. You know them. You know them better than anyone else. Father, just deal with their heart as only You can. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.